We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
I'm still not sure how the Golden State Warriors survived that, but they did. We all know the price that was paid. It was steep. But what do we say to the God of Death? Not today. And the Golden State Warriors have one more game. It'll be this week. At least we're going to get a Game 6 at Oracle Arena. The ramifications of what happened last night, it's a ripple that has just been, you know, going out throughout the entire sports world today. I know we want to play the blame game. I know the questions have been asked. Who made the right decision? Who made the wrong decision? The biggest mistakes? Who were they made by? Who is responsible for all of this? Let me just tell you, sometimes sports happens. Unfortunately for Kevin Durant, with the best intentions, the worst case scenario outside of actually losing the game as well and having the season be over, it pretty much revealed itself last night. We still don't have the official word, but a torn Achilles is suspected. And boy, we have an awful lot to talk about today. Michael Thompson will join us. A Tuesday trifecta will happen. Tim Roy, we got two guests. We got one bit. We've got a couple of co-hosts to tell you about, and it's a good thing that they're here today because, boys, we got an awful lot to get into. Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky with us. And that was one of the most important, victorious, yet devastating nights of Warriors basketball in recent memory. The dynasty still has a chance to continue. I don't know what chance they really have to win this series, and I don't know if they even need to earn more respect in defeat than they were able to in victory, and that says an awful lot about them, society, them, than it does about us. Guys, what happened last night was a preposterous basketball game playing out in front of us. I can't believe they won, and I can't believe the price that had to be paid for victory. Let me just ask you here. Are you blaming anybody today, Ray? Is your finger going out looking to tap somebody is more responsible than others for what happened to Kevin Durant? Go ahead and turn your mic on and tell us about it.
No, I already said what I wanted to say.
Okay, good. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you. No, there's everybody to blame because they all wanted this, which means there's nobody to blame because they all wanted this, and they're all adults, all right? More to the point, tell me who benefits from playing a guy that you know is injured and could crumple at any second. I don't see an upside for anybody. And to me, if you're not following the money, then you have to follow the motive. I don't see the motive for putting Kevin Durant willfully in danger. I also don't see the motive for anybody wanting the outcome, which is to get him to play, that there was nobody else in the room to say, are we sure about this? If you want to quibble, maybe it's the absence of, you know, somebody in the corner saying, you sure you don't want to look into this one more time? But that's such a cheap second guess, it's not worth entertaining. Well, and so basically, everybody's wrong, nobody's wrong.
I agree with that. And the thing about the particular...
Turn your mic off.
The particular second guess you mentioned is like, who are you going to put in that room that's going to view it any differently? Ultimately, in my view, what happened here is a group of people, as you say, all of whom want Kevin Durant to be on the floor as soon as reasonably possible, but quite obviously none of whom want to put him at an unacceptable level of risk. And at some point, that group of people, which includes Durant and his agent, two people who clearly have Durant's best interest at some level in mind, they all decided the level of risk going into game five was an acceptable level. And I think people have trouble with that nuance, that if there was an 85% chance he wasn't going to get hurt again and a 15% chance that he was, you can take that risk, and sometimes the 15 comes up. Sometimes the unlikely thing happens, and that doesn't mean it was a bad gamble. I don't think it means, I don't think Kevin Durant would do it differently, given the same choice again.
Right. The amount of 2020 hindsight that is being projected onto what happened last night is a little bit much to take. If you were looking for someone to blame, if you did want somebody to step up and answer the bell, I mean, I couldn't help but notice that Steve Kerr was not willing to be that guy. When asked about Kevin Durant, Steve Kerr passed the buck to Bob Myers, and Bob Myers obviously had an incredibly emotional press conference last night, and he did say, if you need to point the finger at somebody, I'm that somebody.
I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world, and if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department.
Obviously, very emotional last night. He was with KD as he left the court. Obviously, one of the things that were talked about last night were how the injury was received on court. I can tell you, I don't really blame fans for viciously wanting to win when the apple is so close to your mouth you want to bite it. But that was Bush League, and that was dirty pool. And I know that, look, what was the story about Raptors fans up until last night? How wonderful it was to meet them in this series. And I think we also saw that anybody can turn nasty when there's so much pressure to win in a situation. I also say that, you know, your reaction in a moment says an awful lot about who you might really be. If we're going to apply the same standards to Warrior minority owner Mark Stevens, who embarrassed himself with his reaction, there was that fan on the baseline wearing a 33 jersey last night who was literally pointing, laughing, clapping that it's happening.
People waving goodbye.
You see the reverse angle of it, and there's another Raptors fan who is just pointing and has the appropriate reaction where he's just looking on in horror going, oh my God, not good. You know, this isn't how you want to win. This isn't how you want to vanquish your enemy.
I think if there's something to someone to blame for this, it's all the people who think that all Canadians are polite. I mean, a month ago when the Maple Leafs were playing the Bruins and Jake DeBrusk had a pretty good game for Boston, he got 500 death threats. Toronto fans are no different than anybody else. There's a small group of them who are willing to do anything to enjoy somebody else's misfortune or to create it for them. And there are a vast number of people who don't. If this happened in Oakland and it was Kawhi Leonard, well, in fact, it was Kawhi Leonard. I remember that night. There were some people who were clapping about that. They weren't loud. And they didn't do it for long because peer pressure gets to you. It's just everybody around you is going, what are you doing? But it happens, and it happens everywhere. And some places it's way worse than this.
Yes, I do think the Kawhi Leonard injury is the perfect example, though, because it didn't sound like that in Oracle when Kawhi got hurt.
No, it didn't really.
It wasn't like that. Yeah, sure, there were people. And I think maybe to your earlier point, even if Canadians in general are a much more polite people, it only takes a handful, couple thousand bad seeds to make an awful lot of noise
That's
in the
right,
wrong
buddy.
Direction.
That's right, guy.
Exactly.
What we saw last night was a huge, huge moment in Warriors basketball history. It gives birth to a victory that keeps this series alive. It also essentially buries a year of Kevin Durant's prime right in front of us. The ramifications of that are widespread and sweeping. We will get to all of it today. Michael Thompson joins us. We will have a Tuesday trifecta. Tim Roy is going to join us, and you are welcome to join us too. 888-957-9570. We got so much to get into. I do think, though, after last night, the single best message from the Warriors podium came from Klay Thompson.
Those talking heads who say we're better without him, that's just ludicrous. Like, that's crazy. This is the best player in the world. You could put him on the 30th best team in the league, and that team will make the playoffs. That's how talented he is. So we don't even pay any of that, no mind, because with him, we are really one of the greatest teams to ever play. Without him, we're a really good team, but you throw Kevin Durant out there, like I said before, one of the greatest ever. So we don't pay that any attention because that's just stupid. Stupid, because he's a warrior. You saw what he did tonight. He sacrificed his health for us.
He certainly did. An awful lot was risked. An awful lot was lost, but not the game. We're still alive. The Warriors have a chance to three-peat, and that is a fact. We are going to talk about whether or not that is actually going to happen in front of our eyes before this is said and done on Sunday. Will they see Game 7? We will definitely see Game 6, and I'm glad that we get to see Oracle one last time. 888-957-9570, one of the biggest reactions shows we have ever had. This is a monster this afternoon. You're invited to be a part of it. 888-957-9570. Matt Kolsky, what's up?
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
We're coming out to the phones at 888-957-9570 in just a moment. Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky here on the Damon Bruce Show. We're going to get to you, like I said, in just a second. But guys, I'm still not sure how the Warriors actually survived that. I mean, just forgetting the Kevin Durant injury for a moment. I know that that's a very hard thing to do today. I just want to talk about the basketball that we saw during that impressive 9-2 run to save the entire damn dynasty, but for another few nights anyways, and give us one more game at Oracle Arena. Like, to win that game after the emotional roller coaster of the KD injury, that's enough right there. But my God, the fact that they won that game last night where they're turning the ball over in crunch time, you got Draymond's backcourt violation, you had an easy-to-call offensive foul on DeMarcus Cousins' clear moving pick, you had the Cousins bucket that got waved off for basket interference, whether it was or wasn't irrelevant. There's 2 points you thought you had, and then boom, now you don't. You have the Cousins easy-to-call goaltend. Like, all of that happens. You got Kawhi in kill-em-all mode, and you still come out a winner. I mean, that's one of the most improbable victories in the history of this team. I mean, it really is. They had no business winning that game last night. That is, you know, whatever, Tiger's blood, champion's heart, like whatever you want to attach to it, you're allowed to. That was Disney-like.
It's also institutional memory, and you only need to go to the last play of the game where Toronto did a smart thing, even though people think it wasn't, by not calling a timeout because they wanted DeMarcus Cousins on the floor because they wanted a weak defender somewhere that they could attack. Maybe just go to the heart of the basket and see if he does anything. But the Warriors played 2015 defense in that one possession. Every rotation was crisp. You know, every overplay was perfect. And you know that Toronto didn't want a contested three in the corner from Kyle Lowry to be their shot, but it was the only shot that was made available to them. And that, to me, was the one play that no one will remember, but nobody should forget, because that's the only way they get to have Game 6. It's the only way they'll be able to win Game 6, which is to defend like that on as close to a constant basis as they can.
I think Draymond Green's play on that particular to get out and block that shot after covering the interior for a pass that direction was a remarkable play. And
it's a good thing he didn't trim his nails.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have gotten it.
And I would say this too, Ray's right, except there's that thing, and we used to get on LeBron for this all the time. Sometimes when you're a very short list of guys, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, sometimes the wrong basketball play is the right play for the moment. And I think you could make an argument that the best option there is Kawhi shooting over two defenders.
I mean, two guys came up on me. I don't know if I could have got a shot off. It's hard. I mean, if you got two guys on top of you, you have to try to find the right play. We ended up getting a shot in a corner, but it just didn't go off quick enough.
I mean, the way that he was cooking, though, I thought he'd look at three defenders and say to himself.
But here's the thing.
And just let her go. I mean, he was
cooking right up until his coach cooled him off with back-to-back timeouts at the three-minute mark. Because coming out of those two straight timeouts, back-to-back timeouts, here's what happens. Kawhi Leonard misses a turnaround from 10 feet. Kyle Lowry misses a three-pointer. Kyle Lowry turns it over. Kawhi Leonard misses a three. Gasol misses a layup. Lowry hits the layup, and then Lowry misses the three. So
it's a 9-2 run.
But also, it was their guys, the dudes who made shots for them all game and really all series, they were the ones missing.
Ray was talking about the timeout Nick Nurse didn't take. It was the timeout that he did take that has left everybody going, dude, why'd you ice your own kicker?
We had two free ones that you lose under the three-minute mark. We just came across and just decided to give those guys a rest. And we had back-to-back ones there that we would have lost under the three-minute mark and just thought we could use the extra energy push.
So what? You lose the timeouts. You don't want them. Stopping the clock is the wrong way to do it at this point in time. And you're going to give the gassed Warriors a chance to catch a breath.
What he said was a lie, though. What he really did to call why he called those timeouts, and he all but said it, but knew he couldn't say what he really meant, is that Kawhi was gassed too. And he was going to have to play him all the high leverage minutes down the stretch. And he knows how to handle Leonard's minutes better than anybody else. I don't know that he needed the second timeout, but I'm pretty sure he needed the first, because you couldn't play Kawhi Leonard in the final 3 minutes the way you had played him in the previous three, because he would have been done. And then if he's done, you're done. I have no problem with the first timeout. The second one, I think you can argue, but the first one, I think, made perfect coaching sense.
888-957-9570, a game with storylines just hanging out of it like branches from a tree trunk. I mean, there's just so much to talk about. This is Gene in Oakland. Gene, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. So a few things that I want to kind of just highlight. One, awesome win underneath the rest. You know, back against the wall, you know, part of a champion, you're going to swing. You're not going to give up. 9 points in 3 minutes by the Splash Brothers. I mean, it was unbelievable. I thought that game was over, but, you know, to be able to actually take it to a game six and have a chance to go out on our terms in Oakland, I really, really do appreciate that as a longtime Warriors fan. But I really want to highlight what you guys brought up at the top of the hour, who is to blame. I don't agree that you cannot put equal blame or no blame at all. I think that you have to blame Bob Myers. Like, the fact of the matter is, when you hear this clip over the radio, it seems like it's very sincere. But when you're looking at him and you're watching his emotion, it just seemed like a lot of crocodile tears. And if that's what his emotion was like in the locker room going back into the play and him thinking about everything and it was raw and he was unhappy, okay, fine. But for him to show that same kind of sense of emotion but without the tears, it just didn't seem very genuine to me. I don't know if he's thinking that his job is on the line.
No, I don't think that his job is on the line in any way, shape, or form. And I would like to think that the emotion that he displayed was genuine. I
categorically disagree that there was anything that appeared disingenuous about what Bob Myers did. That looking at him made it seem less genuine than listening to it. I don't agree with that in the slightest. And I like, it makes me so mad that people take this approach. And there's a thousand reasons, but rather than scream them, I just think, well, let's fall back to what Ray said. If you're going to tell me it's some specific person's fault, you better explain the incentive to me. Because for the life of me, I can't imagine what possible reason Bob Myers would have for unduly risking Kevin Durant's health in a game five. It doesn't do the Warriors any good. The circumstances we have doesn't do the Warriors any more good than it does Durant. I don't understand the philosophy, and I don't honestly even want to talk about that part of it.
I really don't either. I like to think that I know enough about this team's front office to where even though they're all savage competitors, they're not willing to risk long-term health of any player at any point in time.
They let Steve Kerr sit out when Mike Brown had to coach instead in the playoffs because of back problems, but you think they're taking bigger risks with the best player in the league's health than they did with the coach? Like, I don't...
Look, injuries happen, and look, I got to be totally honest with you, too. I'm not a big, like, crying unless someone died guy. I'm not. I'm a little more hardcore, maybe myself, than, you know, Bob Myers allowed us to see into his emotions last night. But again, he's there on the ground, man. You're in that room with
the player.
He has
personal relationships.
Yeah, and you're watching a man's face turn from confidence into devastation. I mean, give Kevin Durant the wide berth he needs to be as miserable as a human being can be in that moment. I mean, he has to be so crestfallen that there's no even, like, crestfallen is not even a good enough word to describe the real feeling there.
Distraught.
I don't have a problem with Bob Myers caring. I'm not a big, you know, tears guy myself, but I'm not going to deny Bob Myers, and I don't think, even though we went to UCLA, the guy's up there acting for anyone. Who's he trying to please? And ask yourself, who among you does Bob Myers need to curry favor to save his gig? He doesn't need to.
I want to say one other thing, though. There's a phenomenal arrogance that we in this industry have about taking an event and then going backwards to see where the horrific mistake was made that we can decide is where the villainy is. And I've heard nearly every explanation from, well, they only rested him for 2 minutes and then they played him the rest of the game like he was going to play 45. Well, that's not likely since they've never played him 45. So he was probably going to get rest later in the game. Secondly, everybody wanted this. Everybody in the room. I mean, that's the thing is there is a part of human nature that when everybody is gathered in one place and they want the same result and they agree that this is the only path to get that result, they're going to say that's the best path. But that doesn't take into account the fact that chance is involved and circumstances involved. And sometimes it's just plain bad, dumbass luck.
Question, real quick question. I don't mean to cut you off, but this is important. Do you think they play Kevin Durant if they're up 3-1 in this series?
Probably not, but that's a different...
I don't know because I... If you make that argument...
I'm not making an argument.
You're not the you I'm talking about.
If the that royal
argument,
you.
If that argument is made, then you're basically saying the Warriors are capable of cynical decisions based on players' health. If you're willing to make that argument, then the argument about playing him in Game 5 when he wasn't ready, all of a sudden that takes on a different resonance. The only answer that allows them to be consistent is if they say, yes, we would play him in Game 5 if we were up 3-1 because we want him to play.
I agree with you completely.
I don't. Well, I think there's a middle ground there. Because I think a lot of things go into the calculus of determining whether there's an acceptable risk. I don't think anybody in that room that we're talking about, everyone in the room wants Durant to play at the soonest possible opportunity. We've agreed on that. The calculus of what is a reasonable time to play him involves what approximate percent they think his leg is at, but it also involves how dramatic, not dramatic, but how critical his presence is at any given time. If you're up 3-1, you're guaranteed a game 6. So maybe you feel comfortable giving him an extra day. Maybe he feels, I want to go tonight, but I'm going to take an extra game because there's going to be an extra game.
I'd like to think that there was a medical threshold that once he cleared it, he was greenlit to play. And once he cleared that in a 3-1 up or 1-3 down, they would have played him no matter what. I want to think that. However, I'm not naive. You're very right. That is not the way sports works. But for the Warriors' sake, while they're trying to defend the situation to play them, I would want to think that, yes, the player plays as soon as he's medically cleared to play, and that's how we were going to run it. up 3-1, down 1-3. It just, we were going to do it as soon as he cleared X in terms of rehab.
But do we here?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just asking. Again,
but,
I just
no. But I think specifically to that, I'm not sure there's even a thing that could be the X you just mentioned. Like, I don't know that there is any hard and fast medical data you can look at to say he is officially past the point at which the because like when you're talking about a strained muscle, it's just gradually getting better and better with every day. Like, Clay's hamstring probably feels better yesterday before the game than it did before game four. Right?
Explain it. I went from 80 to 90 to 100.
Exactly. So I think there's circumstances in which if you're a guy who's determined to play and trying to help his team out and feels like it's a risk worth taking, you might say, I'm going to go out there at 73%. Whereas if you're up 3-1, you might say, you know what? It's more prudent to wait until I'm 83% because my risk of injuring myself again goes down. I think Kevin Durant went into that game knowing my risk of hurting my right lower leg is greater than normal circumstances. And he took that risk because he felt it was worth it.
Question here. What if the doctors find out that the calf and the Achilles are completely, you know, unrelated?
That seems hard to believe.
It seems hard to believe. It really does. But look,
if they find out, it's I'm sorry.
Well, no, the only thing I can guarantee is that the people who talk about sports for a living are the worst doctors you could ever prescribe to your own situation. I mean, we really don't know anything. So who knows? Who knows? Like, why don't we have the results of the MRI right now? Well, they're probably waiting for swelling to go down and they're going to go in and check and all this stuff. But
they've been very circumspect about this injury from its start. I don't think we're going to get the results very quickly. I think we'll get what they tell us, but what they tell us is not going to be the results, especially since he's gone to New York, apparently, to get a second opinion. In which case, you know, it makes no sense for the Warriors to come out with their findings without knowing what the findings of the other doctor would be.
888-957-9570. Outspoken Dave in San Jose. What's up?
I got an apology for you guys and Durant and then another statement. So I called in yesterday, called him very selfish. DB, you later in the show talked about the new rule that you can't sit on the bench unless you're active. And then also what he did last night was obviously very, extremely unselfish. But with this whole topic of medical, and yeah, no one we're going to talk to on the air is a doctor, but I do got to say from my own injury history that...
Look, you can't... Look, my only request today is to not a single audience member tell me about their medical history. Here's what you're not. You're not a world-class athlete. So whatever happened to you and your rehab or whatever ain't the same. It's not even comparison. You know, it's you know, my car broke down once. And then another car broke down in the Indianapolis 500. It's not the same conversation. It's not. I love you. Outspoken Eric, thank you for calling.
Outspoken
Dave. Thank you for calling.
Eric's next.
And laying yourself on the petard. Look, there's a lot of people today reevaluating what they've said about Kevin Durant throughout the years, throughout the days. And I got to tell you, last night, one of my emotions was very pissed off about all the sympathy I saw directed at a guy who literally the entire world of sports just crapped on for 3 years. For the better part of 36 months, it was a, you know, I'd be happy if the plane crashed and he couldn't play. Like, break up the Warriors no matter what. I mean, it was destructive the way people rooted against him. Then he goes down hurt and everyone's like, let me go on this completely crocodile tear display of public sympathy signaling to get as many retweets and likes as possible. Like, go kick rocks, you SOBs. Half of you. Seriously. By the way, Jalen Rose said something today on ESPN that I thought carried an awful lot of weight.
We got our pound of flesh as media, as fans, as people who watch this league faithfully, we wanted to see KD give himself to us. We thought it was weak that he wouldn't join the Golden State Warriors. I didn't like that he joined the Golden State Warriors, because when you go to the park, you want the two best players to pick teams, right, not join teams. Right. But since he joined the Golden State Warriors, now it was a quest for him to prove that he could be something bigger than just a back-to-back reigning finals MVP. That's why all year we have said that KD was leaving. Why? Because he was on the thirst for something that Golden State couldn't give him. We created that narrative. He would never be the dude in Golden State. That's always going to be Steph Curry's team. So therefore, he goes there, wins championships, but he got to leave to still validate himself. So now, congratulations, world. You got your pound of flesh.
An awful lot there from Jalen Rose. And he's so right about so much of that. Again, finals MVP. Steph doesn't have one. That's why his career is incomplete. Kevin Durant has two. No, but not good enough. We're not going to acknowledge the two that he has because we don't like to apply any compliments to Kevin Durant. I mean, that's really how the media works. They always move the field goal or the goal line for Durant to cross right when he's about to cross it. And I'll tell you, this is just such proof that sports can be a cruel, cruel mistress. I mean, KD goes from finally starting to get his due to out to now catastrophic injury, which, you know, if you thought Kevin Durant ruined the NBA, guess what? You're going to be happy to see the entire NBA happen without him next year, I guess. There you go. Like, you SOBs wanted it, you got it. You're not going to have that guy to kick around anymore. And honestly, I don't even know how we talk about an NBA season without Kevin Durant. How do we do that? I'm not sure how we do that. We're going to have to reprogram our brains based on the fact that this guy is literally the cup that everyone sipped from for 3 years. And now the cup is gone. What are you going to drink now, you SOBs? I'm a little
I don't know chap. About you, but I'm drinking anyway.
No, I feel the same way. It's infuriating to me to see. But it's the same stuff. I mean, it's people who would find a way to take a despicable stand no matter what the scenario was.
Right.
So if you accused him, and I didn't want to just lambast Dave or whoever he was that called and apologized, but there are thousands of people who, instead of apologizing for criticizing Kevin Durant's heart yesterday, before he officially was going to play, oh, I can't believe this guy is dogging and ting. It's, oh, he's clearly out the door. The majority of those people today are saying, how dare the Warriors gamble with his health? And just shame on you. You're a garbage person.
Right.
Like, but you're just a garbage person if that's what you've been doing.
Right. Whenever the zig is, you're going to zag. That's it. That's just, you are a contrarian as the day is long, and there are so many people, that's all they do. That's all they are. Whatever way common sense is running in, I'm going to sprint in the other direction. Why? Well, I love your tears. Explains so much of the world today. 888 957-9570. Every single line we got is lit, blinking, taken right now. When we come on back, more of your calls, much more. We are just underway. And the hypocrisy of Charles Barkley. Yeah, we get to put that rube on display as well. Don't you go anywhere. This is the Damon Bruce Show, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Stay tuned, because at 4 o'clock this afternoon, I'm not going to use my words to show you what a fool Charles Barkley is. I'm going to let him explain it to you. So stay tuned. That's coming up at 4 o'clock. By the way, we're also giving you a chance to win a pair of Game 6 Finals tickets starting tomorrow around 7:30 a.m., 11:30, 2:30, and 5:30. Each show is going to be given out a name of a Warriors player, past or present. Then on Thursday morning at 7:30, Joe Lowe and Dibs will be giving the audience a clue to text in all four names to 95795. We will randomly select a winner from those texts. The winner will be announced Thursday in the 9 a.m. hour. So make sure to be listening to all four times to get the four names. You'll have a chance to win later this week your way into Game 6, the final game ever at Oracle Arena. 888-957-9570. We want to go back to the phones. We got a lot of people on hold waiting to talk about that game last night, which goes down in the history books for plenty of the right reasons, and unfortunately for one incredibly wrong one. The injury to Kevin Durant is devastating, and the ripple effects are far and wide, but they're still alive. They can still win the NBA championship. It ain't going to be easy, but it could still happen. Eric in Berkeley, you're on with Ray and Matt Kolsky. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, guys. I wanted to get your take on, you know, this whole idea of maybe the medical staff or team doctors, that model being a little bit kind of conflict of interest built into that model. I mean, is it time for the league and teams to start thinking about another model, like maybe, you know, players association paying for doctors or something else that doesn't involve a conflict of interest?
I don't think there's anything you could do that wouldn't have some conflict of interest.
I think.
Well, what about a player having his own physician?
Then he's, I mean, then they could tell teams whatever they wanted, and they could misrepresent things for the player's interest.
Or that's exactly what Kawhi Leonard did, and he shut it down and was urged to come back by Greg Popovich.
I'm not making a value judgment at all. I'm just saying I literally don't see what the option is where there would not be inherent bias in some direction.
Well, first of all, you have to trace this back to who's paying for any doctor.
Right. Someone's got to pay the doctor.
And if it's coming from a player, there's no conflict of interest, but there's no reason why the team should feel confident that said doctor is not conflicted independently.
Right.
So they're going to be reluctant to want to – they're going to want to have their own doctors look. And at that point, there is that conflict of interest.
Right, well,
I think it's unavoidable, but the caller does raise an interesting point, which is what if Durant – in a hypothetical world, had said, I don't think I'm ready, and they pressured him into playing, and he played. That's not what I'm saying happened here, because
right.
We don't have any evidence that did happen. But it has happened before with lesser players. So I think that's where the arguments can be made.
I would just think that if you got your independent doctor, the team has their doctor, if you've got wildly differing opinions, then, oh, my God, there is something rotten in Denmark, and it's a good thing you have your own doctor. If they have the same opinion, that's called consensus. That's called, all right, now I can really trust the results that two different doctors, one paid by them, one paid by me, both agree on. Like, to me, I would just want that around for the reassurance of it as the player. How about this? I'm looking for data points. I want as many data points as I can collect about my own career.
Sure. But again, if there was any sign Kevin Durant wasn't satisfied with the number of data points or didn't believe that the medical side of this was done as well as it possibly could have been, I don't believe he would have played. Kevin Durant controls the action of walking out onto the floor and playing in that right. game, and I don't buy that the team gave him undue pressure. No,
I don't. I think Kevin Durant had full faith in
Kawhi. I know you're not saying that. I'm just saying that seems to be. Look, if people are going to blame Bob Myers or blame the Warriors organization, you're certainly suggesting there was some sort of bad behavior. There was a bad act. There was an irresponsible thing done. And I just don't see it.
I don't either. This is Greg in the city. Hello, Greg.
Hey, thanks, guys. I want to talk a little bit about Cousins. Of course, the best for KD. Maybe it's a tiny bit of good news. He kind of walked off a little bit on his own part. But Cousins, I want to see the Warriors play bully ball with him. That's actually what I want to see him and Durant play. That didn't work out that well. But you got to play Cousins. Looney, I'm hoping you're going to play. Of course, always kudos to the Splash Brothers. But you play bully ball, that's going to open it up for the Splash Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much bullying DeMarcus can do on his own. It seems like he's on the brunt end of most of the bullying in this series. But he did have some important stretch minutes. He also made some colossal mistakes that could have come back and sunk the season. I'm still, you know, on the seesaw about what DeMarcus can really give this series. But if he can represent a third scoring threat, that's what the Warriors need right now. Steve Kerr was happy with what he saw out of DeMarcus in Game 5.
Yeah, I thought DeMarcus was fantastic tonight. You know, he stayed ready. He didn't get the first call, you know, for that second quarter run. We went to Bogut. And then with the injury, we knew we needed his scoring, and he stayed ready and played a brilliant game. So very happy for him, and he's been through an awful lot himself.
I mean, this is a season, postseason, where I think we've changed an awful lot of our opinions on some players. We might have formed some on. Here's something I've never said before. DeMarcus Cousins, good teammate. DeMarcus Cousins, good teammate. He took the medicine of I'm not playing well, went to the bench, really wasn't pouting, was asked to come back in. We need you more than we thought we were going to tonight. No hard feelings. No hard feelings indeed. He came in and he played his rear end off.
Now, to the extent that he has damaged himself as a player, I think this has been a problematic year for him because he hasn't really sort of gotten that lift off that he was hoping from this year, largely because he's been injured. But if there are any more questions about his role within a team structure, he more than wiped those out.
Yeah.
It sort of sucks for him that epiphany happened at the same time that his legs basically blew up.
Yeah.
I think that people who needed to see this year for that epiphany, I just don't think are very good at their job.
Well, except that
I'm great at my job, and I needed this year to see it.
I didn't mean you. I meant GMs. Yeah.
The problem is that most general managers work for owners, and owners, if you're going to say you're going to give a guy $25 million, and I don't know if he's going to be a problem in my locker room, I need to see something.
That's fair, but if you watched what happened in New Orleans, I think you and listened to what everyone said about him there, and frankly, even if you paid pretty close attention in Sacramento, I feel like there were plenty of reasons to believe that the problems had more to do with the Kings than with DeMarcus Cousins. Now, obviously, put in a bad situation, DeMarcus can make things worse. And I don't think there's any debate that he participated in some of the issues in Sacramento. But I don't think it was a huge jump or it takes a genius, especially if you're an NBA insider, to understand that that's not a great scenario to judge a person and then to look at what happened in New Orleans and say, you know what, this guy, if healthy, if playing at the level he has previously been capable of, is absolutely worth whatever he wants to be paid.
But judgments are made based on optics. Judgments are made based on an owner talking to another owner.
Yeah, and that's
a general manager talking to another general manager. And general managers have to worry, among other things, about their jobs. If you are the general manager of the Detroit Pistons, for example, and you go to your owner, Tom Gores, and says, I really want to give DeMarcus Cousins $200 million to play for us for 6 years, the owner's going to look at you and go, convince me. And convince me with a significant amount of evidence, because $200 million is $200 million. And I don't know how many general managers at the time could have made that convincing an argument. And then his Achilles went, and then it didn't matter anymore because the easy judgment was, I don't think he can play anymore.
Damaged goods.
Yeah. I'm not giving this guy $200 million. I'm not giving him $20 million. And then it's a whole different set of circumstances. But, yeah, judgments are made based on what people have told you. And most of what was being said about him coming out of Sacramento was, he's a bad actor because he can't fix this. It's an unfair standard, but it's the standard that exists, and it's the measure that players get measured by all the time.
And I think good general managers can sniff some of the BS in that stuff.
Yeah, but can they convince their owners, who may not be as easy to do that?
I guess not.
Right. And how many good general managers really are there in the NBA, which is another show that we're probably going to need to do Wednesday next week. This is Carlos in San Bruno. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, thanks. I want to talk a little bit about Bob Myers and the Oracle. Yesterday when I was listening to Bob Myers, when nobody was putting the blame on anyone until he put the blame on himself, and then the reporter right after asked him, was the injury worse than they first described it? And then he kind of seemed like he was trying to backtrack a little. So legally speaking, I don't know if that was a good idea for him to say, put the blame on me. And I wouldn't be surprised if if the NBA investigates that.
No, Carlos, there's zero investigation. There's zero crime committed. There was an injury that happened in a sporting event. This is common. This is normal. This is every day in sports. This is just, unfortunately, it happened to a guy who, you know, is a very important part of the process, is a very important part of the headlines and the stories that we tell around the NBA. But there is absolutely no, there's nothing to pin on the guy. I mean, a decision was made. The decision, unfortunately, didn't work out the way that they'd hoped it to.
And I think he said exactly what he should have said, by the way, Bob Myers, because don't blame Kevin, don't blame Steve Kerr, blame me. That's what the top guy should do.
He was standing in front of the injury to catch the bullet, not because he really thought, I think, he's responsible for it.
And you had said earlier that Kerr dodged a bullet. No, he didn't. It's not Kerr's place to discuss that. That's the general manager's there.
I think he was clearly... That was an organizational decision that Bob Myers is going to be the voice on this.
It's Myers' job to handle that presser, not Kerr's. And if Kerr handles it, then something's wrong with the chain of command.
888-957-9570. We want you to stay tuned. 445, Michael Thompson, the father of Clay, who was just money last night. We're going to be talking with Michael Thompson at 445 today on the Damon Bruce Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.